Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." What do you think Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, "Peace be with you"? What do you think of when someone says the word peace? Maybe a treaty between two warring nations that has been established? Do you think of that famous novel by the artist Tolstoy, War and Peace? Maybe you think about someone who has been arrested for disturbing the peace. Or do you think about that inner solitude that everyone seems to be looking for? Maybe all of these things come to your mind when someone says the word peace. Many Eastern religions, as well as disciplines such as yoga and meditation, seek after an inner peace that is defined as the absence of stress and anxiety. Some believe that if they can achieve this absence of stress and anxiety, that inner quietness, then they have found salvation. While it's nice to be at peace within yourself about your life or about a decision that you may have made or one that you are about to make, this is not the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. Nor is he talking about the absence of war, nor about a treaty that has been made between two warring parties. The peace that Jesus is speaking about, the peace that he gives, is not as this world gives. It is the forgiveness of sins, which he has purchased for everyone through his death and resurrection, and which he gives to his church through his Holy Spirit in word and sacraments to those who have faith in his name. It is, after all, his suffering and death which has made lasting peace between God and man, and which gives us eternal life. Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. As Jesus comes on that day to his frightened disciples, where they are locked in the upper room for fear of the Jews, fear that the Jews would come and get them also and deliver them also to their cross, where they would die with their Lord. Jesus' words are not a mere wish or a nice sentiment. Peace be with you means more than, "Hi, I'm happy to see you." He's saying to them, "Do not fear. Your sins are forgiven. Your heavenly Father is no longer angry at you. In fact, he loves you very much. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body. I am here. I have delivered you from these things." His words really do have power to do what he says they will do. The disciples hear his voice. They see the wounds in his hands and feet and side, and they believe. Prior to receiving Holy Communion in our liturgy, while I am saying the words, "The peace of the Lord be with you always," I am holding up the host and the cup, showing you Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. These words have power to do what they say, to forgive your sins and to grant you eternal life. Your answer to those words that are spoken and to seeing the body and blood of your Lord under bread and wine is amen. Yes, may it be so for me as well. This is what I desire, the peace of God that is the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." with the peace of the Lord, the forgiveness of sins, Jesus sends his disciples out as his Father sent him, like sheep among wolves. They are to go to the lost children of Israel and preach the law of God to them so that they will repent of their sins, see that they are in error, and return to the Lord. When the law has done its work, these same disciples are then to proclaim the gospel, to assure them that their sins are forgiven and that God loves them so much that he sent his only Son to die for them. Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." How easy it is to doubt when we have not seen. How easy it is for us to demand a sign from God in order that we will believe what God's word has already told us. We have heard the words, "God will provide," countless times. But still, we are quick to doubt and worry. It's almost like we enjoy being unhappy and depressed and worried, and like we don't know how to be glad and enjoy what God has given us. We don't know how to relax in the good and gracious gifts that our Heavenly Father has handed us. So we too, like the disciples, still must come together in fear and trembling so that we can hear the word of Christ's forgiveness and again see the baptismal font where our sins were washed away and look upon the body and blood of our Lord, which has been given and shed for us. 8 days later, his disciples were inside the room again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." When they are gathered together again, like we are, on the first day of the new week, Jesus appeared to them through locked doors and again said, "Peace be with you." This time, Jesus specifically shows Thomas his hands and his feet and his side and allows Thomas even to touch him. He teaches Thomas, just like he taught the others the week before, so that Thomas will believe. Jesus' words are powerful to create faith and to give life where there is doubt. We should be thankful for this text and even for Thomas who doubted, because we too have doubts and struggles to believe. But look what Thomas receives from God. He does not turn him away in anger. He does not send him out in order to find salvation or peace on his own. No. "Peace be with you, Thomas. Your sins are forgiven. See my hands and my side and believe in me." He embraces Thomas and gives him the forgiveness of sins. He hasn't turned us away either. He continues to speak his word of peace to us even when we doubt. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In this world we will have doubts and fears and plenty of troubles. The devil will actively try to steal and destroy your faith. He will try and take away any joy that you have in this life. But take heart. Jesus has said, "I have overcome the world." He rose victorious from the grave, triumphant over your sins, over evil death, and even over the power of the devil. He has sent you many pastors in your history, to proclaim His word of law and to convict you of your sins. And then when the law has done its work, to announce again the grace of God to you, the forgiveness of sins, the peace which passes all human understanding, to baptize and to feed His church. Take a deep breath. Relax. Be at peace inside of yourself. Your sins no longer separate you from your Heavenly Father or from the eternal life that has been won for you in His name. On this most holy day of days, be laud and jubilee and praise to God, your hearts and voices raise. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.